There you go. It's one thing when you suffer because of the own choices you make, right? And sometimes you don't even know it. You blame other people or whatever the situation you find yourself in, but life is tough. People are making fun of you. People are making your life difficult in one way or the other, and sometimes it's because of the choices that we make. It's another whole other issue when, just as we've seen, we're you end up in pain and suffering and persecution because nothing that you did, they're not your choices that you made, but you find yourself in a situation where you're in trouble for a whole bunch of different reasons. And it's even harder. So in this situation, war-torn country, they're forced to flee, they're running away, they have to keep moving because they have no citizenship. And it's amazing to me that they can still keep their focus on Jesus and on God. I mean, that's incredible, having to pack up and move your house, whatever many times they have to do it, not having a home and not being a citizen in a country and having no rights. But there are also people in the world today who, for their faith, are suffering and being persecuted. And that can be the extreme end, where some people are in prison and might actually die today for their faith. Every couple of minutes, a Christian in the world dies for their faith. Or it could also be because you're in school or you're in university or you're in the workplace and people just poke fun at you and they just make your life difficult. Or you're a business person and you're trying to do your business, but people cut you off and won't do business with you because of your faith or because of your certain belief system. And we're seeing more and more and more of that. Where if you claim to be a Christian or if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, because of the gap that's getting wider and wider between what society believes and what you believe, you might, if you haven't already, pay for that in a real physical sense through your job, through the loss of a job, through loss of business, through mockery, through all kinds of difficult situations. And so it's getting increasingly more difficult to even begin to get our heads wrapped around that. And we started this series last week in the book, 2 weeks ago in the book of Jeremiah, looking at Jeremiah. And if you remember, this is a time where it's not much different than ours. You know, the human condition has not changed in thousands of years. And so the fact that our society thinks everybody's good and somehow if we just all get along, it'll be okay, that's just not the human pattern and the human problem. Our problem is that we don't generally get along and that we are generally selfish and a bunch of other issues. And when we get in each other's way, we end up causing a lot of damage. And it was no different in Jeremiah's day. And if you remember, we talked about last couple weeks that Jeremiah was speaking to his people. He was a prophet. He was supposed to bring God's word to his people. And his word was a tough word. It was basically, you know, if you guys don't keep your end of the bargain of a relationship, if you don't step up, if you don't follow me, if you're not obedient, if you don't seek wisdom, if you don't follow my ways, if you don't obey my decrees, all of these things that God had set out as precepts for his people, boundaries and guidelines for their health and their benefit and for the health of the benefit of societies around them, God said, if you don't follow, I'm going to walk away and I'm going to remove my blessing. And when God removes his blessing from a situation, utter anarchy is always the result. And pain and suffering is always the result. And it breaks God's heart. So it's not like God just goes, ah, and then he's laughing. And I told you so. That's not God's heart. God's heart is he watches as his people spiral out of control and bring damage and inflict pain and suffering on themselves. And his heart breaks. And then he gives them chances to repent and to come back to him. But Jeremiah is God's prophet, and he's bringing these words to his people. And so you would think Jeremiah should have some privilege, right? You think he's the prophet of God. You think that everything should go his way. But it doesn't. And if you'd like to follow along, I'm going to read from Jeremiah chapter 20. This is where we're going to go this morning. In Jeremiah chapter 20, and I'm going to read the first 11 verses or so. Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 1, reading from the NIV, and this is what happens. When the priest Pushur, son of Amor, so this is the head pastor, all right? This would be like if you were in an Anglican church or a Catholic church. This is like the bishop or the archdiocese or whatever the term it is. Like, this is the head honcho. The chief officer in the temple of the Lord heard Jeremiah prophesying these things, telling the people that if you don't turn from your sin, if you don't start following God, destruction's coming. He had Jeremiah the prophet beaten and put in stocks in the upper gate of the Benjamin, of the upper gate of Benjamin at the Lord's temple. Hold on a minute. Jeremiah was doing what he was supposed to do. God had asked him, this is what I want you to do. I want you to tell my people this is what's going to happen, to warn them. Well, they don't like it. The priest doesn't like it. So they beat him up and they put him in stocks, just like we see in the movies. Like, how humiliating. How brutal. Verse 3, the next day when Pusher released him from the stocks, oh good, just for one day, Jeremiah said to him, the Lord's name for you is not Pusher, but now Magor-Meshab. You are not Pusher, but Magor-Meshab, for this is what the Lord says. I will make you a terror to yourself and to all your friends. With your own eyes, you will see them fall by the sword of their enemies. I will hand all Judah over to the kingdom of Babylon, who will carry them away to Babylon or put them into the sword. I will hand over their enemies and all the wealth of this city, all of its products, all its valuables, and all of the treasures of the kings of Judah. They will take it away as plunder and carry it off to Babylon. And you, Pusher, and all of you who live in your house will go into exile to Babylon. There you will die and be buried, you and all your friends to whom you have prophesied lies. This is pretty harsh stuff. Verse 7, Jeremiah. Oh Lord, you have deceived me or persuaded me. We're not 100% sure what this word is. Oh Lord, you have deceived and persuaded me, and I was deceived and persuaded. You overpowered me and prevailed. I am ridiculed all day long. Everyone mocks me. Whenever I speak, I cry out, proclaiming violence and destruction. So the word of the Lord has brought me insult and reproach all day long. But if I say I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, his word in my heart is like a fire that's shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. Verse 10, I hear many whispering, terror on every side. Report him, let's report him. All of my friends, all are waiting for me to slip, saying, perhaps he will be deceived. Then we will prevail over him and take revenge on him. This is pretty tough suffering. One little verse of glimmer of hope. But the Lord is with me is like a mighty warrior. So my persecutors will stumble and not prevail. They will fall and thoroughly be disgraced. Their dishonor will never be forgotten. O Lord Almighty, you have examined the righteous and probed the heart of the mind. Let me see your vengeance upon them, for to you I have committed my cause. Sing to the Lord, give praise to the Lord. He rescues the life of the needy from the hands of the wicked. What? Like that? That's kind of random, isn't it? Like, and so just that one verse, remember that. We're going to come back to that. Then verse 14, cursed be the day I was born. What? You just went from praise God, hallelujah, worship for him, to cursed be the day that I was born. May the day my mother bore me not be blessed. Happy Mother's Day. Cursed be the man who brought my father the news, who made him very glad, saying, a child is born to you, a son. May that man be like the towns the Lord overthrew without pity. May he hear wailing in the morning, a battle cry at noon, for he did not kill me in the womb, with my mother as my grave, her womb enlarged forever. Why did I ever come out of the womb to see trouble and sorrow and end my days in shame? And with that, we'll close and go home. Jeremiah is such an interesting book, and we're just kind of skipping through it. But when you read something like that, what do you do with it? Because it's hard. I mean, Jeremiah is doing what he is called to do, and it was a difficult task. It was a task of warning God's people, if you don't change, if you don't listen, if you don't change your direction, destruction's coming because God's going to remove his presence. And at that point, they could have gone just, well, okay, whatever, and just lived their lives, which is what they did anyways, and didn't listen. But instead, they actually go on the offensive as well, and they beat Jeremiah. They put him in stocks. They're mocking him. They're persecuting him. And all he did was do what God called him to do and what God told him to do. And so here's the question for us this morning. What do you do when life's tough? What do you do when you find yourself in a situation, and I hope for none of us it's as bad as Jeremiah, but what do you do when you're persecuted, made fun of, when you're finding struggle and pain in your life, in relationship breakups and financial situations, in your job and your career, wherever it is that you find yourself, what do you do when you are in pain and suffering and persecution? And so here's just a couple of lessons or a couple of ideas or principles that we see through Jeremiah's life that hopefully will help us today. The first principle that comes to mind as I read through this is don't stop. Continue in your faith. Now, I get this from this verse 9, and I love it because Jeremiah is fighting with himself because God's giving him this word that says, hey, don't do this and don't go this way and don't pursue this direction and here's what God wants from you and here's what God expects from you. And that's hard. Like when you have to talk to somebody who's not living the way that God wants them to live and you know it, like a lot of us don't even bother having the conversation. We just run the other way. Like, oh, I'll let them learn from their mistakes, right? It's really difficult to have that conversation to start with. And so Jeremiah's wrestling with himself. He's like, oh, I know, and you want me to give them this news, but I'm tired of giving this news, and I don't want to talk about it anymore. And when I do talk about it, people come and they hurt me and they persecute me. And so Jeremiah has a choice at this point to say something or to say nothing. But this fire burns inside of him, and I love it. It's God's word burning inside of Jeremiah's heart so that he can't be quiet. And that's the way our life should be. Even when you're persecuted for your faith, even when people make fun of you at work, you know, you can stop sharing the good news, you can stop living righteously, you can stop making wise choices, or you can keep following God and allow that burning sensation in your heart. It's the Holy Spirit speaking to you saying, no, you need to speak. No, you need to keep praying. No, you need to keep giving. No, you need to keep serving and worshiping and working and following me. And whatever it is that God's asking you to do, you just keep on pursuing him. Don't stop. Because it's so easy in pain and suffering. It's so easy when we go down that path, even when we're following God and we're suffering for the right things, to doubt. And to say, you know what? It's not worth it. I give up. I wave the white flag. And Jeremiah, through God, saying, don't give up. I've given you the Holy Spirit. I've filled you with my Spirit so that you will continue to follow me. And not ignore me, or not ignore those around you. In 1988, some of you might remember this story, George H.W. Bush was elected president of the United States. But what many people don't know, or the backstory, particularly if you're not American, is that in 1987, the front runner for the Democrats, those opposing George Bush obviously, was a senator from Colorado named Gary Hart. After rumors surfaced about an extramarital affair, Hart famously dared reporters to follow him. So they did, because he denied that he had an affair, and he dared always follow me. And so they did. Two reporters from the Miami Herald saw a young woman leaving Hart's house in Washington, D.C. in the evening of May 2nd. The woman was a 29-year-old woman named Donna Rice. A few days later, the media revealed that Hart had spent the night in a yacht called Monkey Business with Mrs. Rice. How appropriate is that? Pictures of Rice sitting on Hart's lap made front page news all around the nation, all around the world. Senator Hart's presidential bid imploded, but what happened to Donna Rice? Because often we watch the person fall from grace, and we watch his great leader who was a charge of the Democrats and was running for a president or potential to, and he falls and crashes, and we know his story. But what about Donna Rice's story? Years later, in 2013, she explained how she had wandered from her faith and wandered and then returned to her faith in Jesus Christ. Towards the end of her college career, she started making these little left-hand turns and decisions that didn't seem significant at the time. Before long, she was dating some non-Christians and thought, you know, that's not a big deal. It's hard to believe how you can go from here to there. You don't go there overnight. You go there little by little and wrong choice by wrong choice at a time. I saw Hart only twice. But God was trying to get my attention prior to that, and it took an international sex scandal because I was stubborn. God will track you down. He will let things happen, the natural consequences of our choices. But Rice began her journey back with God and came back to faith, living under the media's radar for 7 years, hiding, caring for a disabled woman, getting married, and then becoming president of Enough is Enough. Now the media that she runs seeks out Donna Rice, not for her sexual scandals, but for her expertise in promoting internet safety and sexual wholeness. Isn't that amazing? Donna said, oddly, I was Miss Scandal Queen in 1987, and now I'm seen as the voice of decency and morality. That's a God thing. Don't stop. Because she could have very easily, I mean, you think about it for a minute. National scandal. Like, your name is smeared in mud for the rest of your life. And so you could have gone to drugs, you could have gone to addictions, you could have gone to, I mean, you could have gone so many different directions with that and just allowed the world to destroy you and destroy your life and to continue to make more and more and more bad decisions. Instead, God grabs a hold of her, it takes a while, and brings her back to Him. And I would say and believe that it's because there was something still burning inside of her heart. That despite the pain, despite the suffering, despite the embarrassment and the mockery, that she eventually came back to her faith. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, it says, instead, speaking truth in love, we grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Jesus Christ. When you find yourself in trials and struggle and pain, don't stop. Continue to listen to that fire burning inside of you. Continue to your very last dying breath to share what God is stirring in your heart and in your life. The second thing that comes out of this is, and we sang about it this morning, is that know that God is near. I don't know about you, but this is encouraging. But the Lord is with me like a mighty warrior. After these dialogues and this wrestling and back and forth and I can't and the pain and this, it just jumps out verse 11, but the Lord is with me. We sang about this morning that God is with us in His presence and our desire in our life and our longing in our life should be for the presence of Jesus Christ and the Lord our God. You know, it can seem like God's moving in one instance and then you kind of back away or it feels like God is disconnected, but God never disconnects from us. Sometimes in the valley, and you've seen the poster, the sandals, or sorry, the footprints in the sand, right? I mean, we've all heard it. It's cute, but it's real. That when we're going through pain and suffering, what? Jesus picks us up. Now, we might not sense Him, we might not feel Him, but we know that He is there. Jeremiah, at this point, is at the bottom. Beaten up, put in stocks, persecuted, mocked, trying to follow God, but everything from a worldly perspective, not going his way. It doesn't say he saw or he felt, but it says, I know that God is with me. It's a declaration, but the Lord is with me. And you see this as a theme throughout Scripture of God's presence with His people in the most darkest and extreme hours and struggles and pain. God does not leave us when you're in the valley. God does not leave us when you're going through health issues, financial struggles, marriage problems, whatever it is, God doesn't leave us. God doesn't leave you when you're at work or at school or in university and people are making fun of you and pushing your buttons and trying to get you to react or trying to get you to swear or trying to get you to compromise your faith. God doesn't disappear when that happens. He's there with us. And when you're struggling and when you're finding yourself in a situation, hopefully not as desperate as Jeremiah, and you're trying to follow God, you're listening to that fire in your heart, you keep speaking the truth. Know this, that God is near. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, which some of you might know, famous German theologian, said this, "It is good to learn early enough that suffering and God are not contradictions, but rather unity. For the idea that God himself is suffering is one that has always been one of the most convincing teachings of Christianity. I think God is nearer to us in suffering than in happiness. And to find God in this way gives peace and rest and a strong and courageous heart. It's easy to follow God when everything's going well. A lot more difficult when you find yourself in pain and suffering, particularly if it's because of a direct result of the decisions that you've made to follow him. Psalm 73, verse 28 says, "But as for me, it is good to be near to God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of your deeds." It's David singing. Psalm 75, verse 1, "We praise you, God. We praise you for your name is near. People tell of your wondrous deeds." When life is tough, when you're going through struggle, know that God does not abandon you. He is with you. And the third thing that he says here in verse 13, it's just one verse. It's bookended by all this pain and this struggle and, cursed be the day that I was born and all this horrible stuff. And he's just wrestling. He's venting. You can vent to God. But in between the venting and the persecution and the suffering, there's one little verse in the middle. "I'm going to sing and I'm going to worship God." Like, really? You remember the story in the book of Acts? They're in prison. They've been thrown into prison. And what do? They begin to sing and to worship God. I mean, it's kind of really insane. And there's an earthquake. And the whole place falls apart. And they're rescued. There is power in music. It shifts our focus off our situation and our circumstance. And unto God. And the cool thing is there's even some songs. They're like laments. Sometimes they even got that Jewish sound. You just plug that minor chord and you begin to play it. Or you put in a worship song, a slow song, and it just has that sense of God's in this place. And you begin to sing those words and you begin to express your worship to God that even when everything else around is falling, even when you've had to move for the 10th time in whatever amount of years it is because you don't have a citizenship, because you don't have any rights, and you don't know where your food's going to come the next day, you don't know what the next job's going to be, you don't know what's coming around the corner, when you're in that position and in that place and you begin to sing and you begin to worship, it takes your focus off on that situation. On February 28th, at the beginning of the Ukrainian war, New York City has one of the largest Ukrainian populations in the United States. There's about 150,000 Ukrainians that live in New York, apparently. And most of them, apparently, when they immigrated, they left Ukraine, and they came as Baptists or Pentecostals fleeing or looking for asylum because of religious persecution. And so on February 28th in 2022, just this year, thousands of them came to worship and to pray for their brothers and sisters. Why? Because when we worship together, when we sing together, first of all, it takes our situation, our eyes off the situation. And God moves. And God responds. And God heals. And God moves in our hearts. And we find that we're connected with him. Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all through wisdom, through psalms, hymns, and songs, and singing to God with gratitude." And of course, in the Psalms, it's over and over and over again. Sing, 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 sing. So when you find yourself, like Jeremiah, in a difficult situation, not because something that you self-induced, but because you've been living out your faith and you've been doing your best, and then issues come, pain comes, suffering comes, persecution comes, what do we do? Well, don't give up your faith. Don't cash it in. Don't worry about the world. Just keep on listening to that fire inside of your heart. Know that God is still near you. Know that God still cares, that he still loves you, that he will pick you up, that he will wrap his arms around you, even when you don't feel it, even when you don't sense him. He's there, sometimes even more present than when things are going well. And despite the pain, despite the suffering, despite the loss, despite whatever it is, we continue to sing and to worship. You see, if we could live like this, the example that Jeremiah sent for his people is incredible. And that's what people are looking for in this world. Because even though for many people there's a lot of good things in life, there's a lot of pain. There's a lot of brokenness. The world still hasn't changed. We go outside the doors of this church, and hey, even within the doors of this church, each one of us can identify pain and suffering in one form or matter or fashion in this world around us. We have a civilization that's running away from God. Broken families pursuing everything that makes them feel good and be happy, and it's not going to fulfill the greatest void in their heart that only Jesus and God can fill. So as we go from this place this week, be reminded to keep speaking the truth, to keep pursuing God. And in that pursuit, know that He is always with you, that He will never leave you. And as you live out this faith, as you live this way, sing and worship the King of Kings and the Lord who controls everything. And when you have this relationship with Him, who fills you with His Holy Spirit, and the Bible tells us in Ephesians that the same Spirit that rose Jesus Christ from the dead lives and dwells inside of you and me. And so Jesus went to the cross and rose from the dead. And He did it for you, and He did it for me. And He suffered and was persecuted and mocked and beaten for you and for me. And because He went through it, we can find our strength in Him and through Him. Let's pray. Jesus, it's not that we want to say thank you for pain and suffering, because none of us want to go through it. But we want to acknowledge and confess this morning that when pain and suffering comes, it's a result of this world as it runs away from you, that you would give us the strength continue to listen to you, the sensitivity and the wisdom to listen to you, no matter what the world says, no matter where the world goes. Father, for those this morning that are listening online or in this room, and you feel that God's abandoned you, know this, that He has not abandoned you, that He is here with you this morning, and will go with you out of this place to the very ends of the world. For those that don't know Jesus and never had a relationship, you've never asked Him into your life, it's something you can do this morning or wherever you are today as you listen. Just invite Him into your life and into your heart. Because Jeremiah's message was one of repentance. Turn from your sin. Come and back and follow God. And so you can do that this morning. You can follow Jesus and turn from your sin, the wrong thoughts, the wrong things that you've done in your life. And He will come in and He will fill you with His Holy Spirit when you ask with that burning desire and with a truth that only He gives. Jesus, as we go from this place this morning, as we sing and as we worship, be present in our hearts and light that fire as we go out into the world to share your faith and the love and to be the people that you have called us to be. For this we pray in your most holy and precious name, Jesus. Amen.